it's left off the previous year, and we're trying to put the final touches, at least for now, in the sugya, that, of course, we're still dealing with the original question. The original question as sugya was, everybody agrees that a person who kills does not pay kofar, and the Gemara needs a pasuk to teach us that. The question is, what do I need a pasuk for? What happened to Kamim Dramine? So we gave multiple answers to this question, and the last answer we were dealing with was the Sefer Yerayim. So the Sefer Yerayim, written by Elazar Mitz, suggests that in Ochinami, that Kamim Dramine really does cover you from not having to pay kofar, but something that's just based on Kamim Dramine only means that you're potter in this world, means you're potter in Bezin Shalmata, but in Bezin Shalmala and Shemaim, you aren't obligated to pay. So therefore, there's a necessity for a pasuk. That because I would have thohtthat based on the regular rules of Kamim Dramine, you, yes, it's true, Bezin wouldn't have forced you to pay, but practically speaking, you would have been obligated to pay, at least in Shemaim. So come Ashmalah and comes the pasuk and says you're potter entirely. So we said that that pshat of the Sefer Yerayim is only as true as its premises. Is that correct? Is that accurate that Kamim Dramine really obligates you to pay in Shemayim? So the Sefer Yerayim had a raya from the Gemara. That was that Gemara about Estanos HaTorah Filu Balimo. And the Gemara says that the Din of Estanzon applies even to a case of Gilei Arayos when the person would otherwise be Chayav Misa. How could it be an Estan if he's not Chayav in Dinei Mamonos to pay the money? Why is it called an Estan? It's just a gift. So the Yerayim, following the footsteps of Rebbe Rashi and Tosfos, had already said this earlier, that the reason why it's an Estan is because there is a Chiyuv to pay. Not a Chiyuv in Bezin Shomata, but a Chiyuv in Bezin Shomala. And that Chiyuv in Bezin Shomala transforms this from being a gift into having the halachic status of an Estan, and therefore being possible in Mizbech. So the Sefer Yerayim had a Pshat in Agamara, he had a Raya from Agamara, and Bava Kamba at Estan. So it sounds like we're in good shape. But we pointed out at the end of the Shiur on Wednesday that other Rishonim had very, very different pshatim in that Gemara. Other Rishonim said that, such as the Meiri, that maybe Kimmud Ravni doesn't apply at all to Schiris Polim, doesn't apply to payment of workers, because it only applies to Onshei HaTorah, it doesn't apply to what we call Hischaivus Das, to personal obligations, the contracts, that doesn't apply Kimmud Ravni, so that is no right at all to the Sefer Yerayim. Or we saw, according to the Chiddush Yeran, who says that the only reason why the Gemara says it's called an Estan is because normally we wouldn't say the Yechayim and the Nishimayim. Kimmud Dramine is not a Chayim and the Nishimayim, but over here you gave your word. So you told this lady you're going to give her X amount as an Estan, so in Dinei Mamonos you're obligated to give it to her. So not because of Dinei Shemayim, not because Kimmud Dramine is Chayim and Nishimayim, because Midvash Shekatircha, because honesty dictates that you fulfill your word. So we weren't as convinced with the Sefer Yerayim anymore. His whole pshat is predicated on that assumption that Kimmud Dramine carries with it the Chayim and Dinei Shemayim. Not so simple. So what is the din? This is already way beyond the scope of our sugya, but this is already a more general question. What is the din of Kimmud Dramine? Does it carry with it an onish in Shemayim? Does it carry with it a din in Shemayim or not? So much of the discussion revolves around a sugya that appears in the 14th of the Marmakamos. Let me just a quick background. We know there's a din of Kimmud Dramine, but Kimmud Dramine doesn't only apply to Onshei Beis Din, in the sense of somebody burnt out someone's house on Shabbos. There's another example of a Kimmud Dramine, and that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara says, that had in the fine Beis, is that if a person is a Rodef, a person is a Bava Machteres. So if Reuven is running after Shimon, so he's about to kill Shimon, so Reuven is, technically speaking, quote-unquote, Chayav Misa. Now, that doesn't mean Chayav Misa in the classic sense of the word. He hasn't done anything yet. So he's clearly not going to be brought to Beis Din to be Chayav Misa. But in the status of Rodef, anybody can come and take him out. Anybody has the right and the obligation to save the Nirduf, to save the intended victim, even at the expense of the life of the Rodef. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that therefore we treat the Rodef as almost being like a Chayav Misa. Again, it's not quite the same. Chayav Misa means with Beis Din, with Asra, to aid them, 23 Dayanim, the whole nine yards. Here it means for that split second that Reuven is being Rodef Shimon, so Reuven is nitan lahamis. He is nitan to be killed by anybody, but the Gemara tells us that has the status of Kamim Dramine as well. So therefore, if a Rodef in the process of being Rodef causes damage, so the guy's a klutzy Rodef, he's running after Reuven and he also bumps into somebody and breaks somebody's barrel on the way, so the Mishnah says he doesn't have to pay. Because since he's Chayav Benafsho, it's Chayav Benafsho, so he's Pater from Tashlumin, it's a quote-unquote Kimmud Dramine. So comes the Gemara and qualifies the statement on the 14th of the Ramakom, it's Amarav. Habava machteres v'natal kelim v'yatza potter. If a person is a baba machteres means he's sneaking into somebody's house in the middle of the night, which is basically treated like a rodif, because we assume that if the balabas is going to stand up to him, he's going to try to kill the balabayas. So baba machteres v'natal kelim v'yatza. So in the process of baba machteres, he takes some stuff, he grabs some barrels, takes it out of the person's house, potter. So he's potter from paying for those barrels. Why is that, by Taima? Bedamim kadinhu, because he literally acquires those barrels with his own blood. It's a very poetic way of saying that he's a rodef. It's a kamin raminay. It's a little bit of a play on the words bedamim kadinhu, because normally the way you buy something is bedamim. You buy something with paying money. Here it means with his blood. So it's a little bit, as I say, you have to catch Chazal humor, something that can go right by you, but this was supposed to be, I think, like a quasi-humorous statement.
Maybe,
so
maybe it's speaking about that shita that holds the dhamim, that Misa is actually part of the dhamim,
it's almost like a remiss to the Ramban. Right. Okay, maybe, could be. So my time of dhamim kiddins. Amar Rava. So Rava says, not so simple what Rav just told us. The fact that the Baba Machteres is treated like a Kamib Dramine, and therefore he doesn't have to pay for the Kalim that he stole, not so simple. Amar Rava. Mistavra Milse de Rav Bishashiber de Lesneo. This makes sense if he actually broke the barrels. Because now the barrels aren't around. So now we're going to say to the God of, we want you to pay for those barrels. So the guy's going to say, pay. But what if the barrels are still around? So then Rav says all bets are off. Why is that? So the lumdus of Rav apparently is that to return the barrels, that's not tashlumin, that's not covered by kilmud ramine, that's a shavas agazela. Kilmud ramine means that if we kill you, we're not going to make you write a check to pay for X, Y, and Z. But here, if the barrels are still there, we're not asking you to write a check. We're not making you pay the barrels. We're making you simply return the barrels that anyway belong to the other person. So that's what Rava's Lomdus is that Kibbutz Ramine applies to Tashlumin. It doesn't apply to Hashava. So the Gemara says, V'elokim, Amar Rav feel not V'elokim. It was like a Lashon Shmua, saying that, no. Rava may not be right, but that's not what Rav said. Rav personally said a fidel notal. Rav held, even if the barrels are intact, you don't have to return the barrels. So this is a very, very lomdish machlokus between Rav and Rava about how to understand the relationship of kamud ramine and the mitzvah of hashavas hagazela. But this is not really our sugya. It learns at Hedron Ayin Beis, so that's where the lomdus is on. Our goal is to extract the part for the next part, which is part of our sugya. So we have machlokus, Rav and Rava. How far does Kibbutz Ramine by Rodev go? Does it apply only to a Tashlumen if the barrels are broken? Or does it apply even if the barrels are intact? So now the Gemara tells a story. Rava Ignivulei Dichra B'machtar. The long old Rava was... Imagine somebody broke into the Rosh Yeshiva's house. So they broke into Rava's house and they stole his Dichra. They stole his ayahs. They stole his rams. In a Machtara. So it was a classic Kibbutz Ramine. Hadrinu Nihalei. And then the person decides either he was caught or he's a tshuva, whatever it is, and he brings the animals that he stole back to Rava. Velo kablinu. Rava refused to accept the animals back. Why wouldn't he take the animals back? This is almost like reminiscent of the story of the Chafetz Chaim. Somebody once beat up the Chafetz Chaim and stole his money. Can you imagine how much money you got out of the Chafetz Chaim? They mugged the Chafetz Chaim. So they stole the Chafetz Chaim. The money. So the Chafetz Chaim was running after the Ganav. What was he screaming? A Meichel. He didn't want the person should feel that he wasn't the Meichel. So here, Rava, somebody broke into Rava's house in the middle of the night, stole his animals, and now they were caught. Now they're returning the animals. Rava refused to accept the animals. Why? Because according to Rav Shtikl Torah, I'm not entitled to the animals back. Because according to Rav Shtikl Torah, it's covered by Kibbutz Ramine. So since Kibbutz Ramine applies to the Baba Machteres, and according to Rav himself, who Rava parenthetically disagreed with, but according to nothing but Pumi the Rav means literally the words left Rav's mouth. Since Rav had said there's a din of Kibbutz Ramine afilu notal, even though the animals were still intact, Rava refused to accept those animals, even though the Fishi Toso, he was perfectly entitled to those animals, but he didn't want to take any chances in Gazela. He was chesh, he was machmi for Rav Shita vis-a-vis Gazela. So comes Tosos on the 15th of the Marmakomas and says, I don't understand the story, says Tosos. Tema. This is like a misnagid learning a chassidish story. This is like such a beautiful chassidish story. He's running after the guy and saying, I won't take it because according to one day and one sheet that we machmer. So Tosfos says, no, it was a misplaced midas chassidus. Tema says, Tosfos, ha-mechayev letzei sedei shivayim. The Gemara says that when it comes to kilo v'draminei, one is obligated, let's say, sedei shivayim. So if one is obligated, let's say, sedei shivayim, how does Tosfos know that that's true? The obligated says the Shemaim can be yavar frecha polim, can be a chosim parvadash brother esther asatar filu balimel. That same Gemara that the Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz was quoting, that Tosfos's opinion is that every case of kibbutz b'drami, we're obligated let's say the Shemaim. So Tosfos is asking, wait a second, if those guys are chayev let's say the Shemaim anyway, what's wrong with me taking back the animals? If you would hold there's no chiv let's say the Shemaim, and they're not really chayef to give the animals at all, and according to Rav Shita, I'm not allowed to take the animals. So then I understand why Rav was choshish. That is, as a midas chassidus, he was choshish for Rav, even though he didn't think Rav was correct. But once we introduce into this picture the institution of, let's say, Stei Shemayim, so anyway they're supposed to give back the animals. Rav is doing them a favor by taking it back. By taking it back, so he's doing exactly what's supposed to happen. They're supposed to return the animals. Even according to Rav, even though it's sad that there's kibbutz b'drami here, even though the animals are intact, they're still supposed to return the animals. If they're supposed to return the animals, what in the world is Rav doing wrong by not accepting those animals?
Why is there even kibbutz b'drami in the first place? The time that he's obligated to pay back the gzela, he's no longer a rov.
Excellent, but the original chiyuv of paying back the gzela kicks in at the time of the gzela. So at the time that he took those animals, he was still a baba machteris.
But he still has a chiyuv on the gzela even after he's.
But the chiyuv gezela kicks in at that time. At the time, v'heishas gezela asher gozal, kol gozal mishabek shasa gezela. And since b'shasa gezela, he was called above machtera, so he's patted. There is no ongoing chiyuv. If he does something, let's say if he makes a shinoi or something, then he can begin to discuss about can there be a subsequent shasa gezela. But here, nothing else happened. So since nothing else happened, so it's just the original shasa gezela remains intact.
Whose animals are they?
So the animals
belong.
No, so they really belong to the, according to Rav, his, yeah. According
how he made a how is he coning them?
I mean, how is the Goslin coning them all together? According to Rav. By stealing them, they become his because but it doesn't matter because there's no Hashavah Sekhazel. According to Rav, there's no Hashavah Sekhazel because Kibbutz B'Drami covers not just Tashlumen, it covers Hashavah as well. So there's no Hashavah Sekhazel. So the din is whenever a person steals something and there's no Hashavah Sekhazel, it becomes yours. Right? It becomes mine. Right. Once I take it from you, what prevents me from being kona gezela is the mitzvah shavas gezela. But in a situation where the Torah says this is not a shavas gezela, so it becomes mine. Right.
So if it's his and he wants to return them, what's wrong with accepting it? It's
as like a matana is one thing, but this is
Let's see. We'll see the answer. Tosfos, that's going to solve your problem also. Yeah. So again, so Tosfos is asking a strong question. Tosfos is saying he's supposed to return it to Rava. Even according to Rav, he's supposed to return it. Zidin Shemayim. So v'yesh loma, Tosfos gives out lom de sheteret. These are lom de sheganovim. These are not just simple ganovim. These are real lom de sheganovim. V'yesh loma, v'kan lo hayu rotzim ha'achzir, el imken yischayvu b'dini adam. Listen, these ganovim are not interested in being great chassidim. They're not interested in doing dini shemayim. They're going to pay if the halacha requires them to pay. Halacha means beizin shamata. So if chashamish put the clears, they have to pay, then they're going to pay. But if not, they're not interested in paying. So now, according to Rava personally, they are chayef to pay in dini adam because hashavas hakazel is not covered by kibbutz b'drami. Kibbutz b'drami only applies to tashlum and not to hashavas. So according to Rava, really l'shitaso, he was entirely justified in receiving these animals back, even if the ganavim only wanted to pay in dini adam, because they were chayv in dini adam. But according to Rav Shtikl Torah, that there's kibbutz b'drami even on Hashavas HaGazela, and therefore, at best, the chiv of the ganavim is, let's say, Stei Shemayim. So it would have been nice if you would have had chassidish ganavim. That doesn't sound good, but you understand what I mean. If it would have been ganavim wanted to be yotzei, midas chassidish wanted to be yotzei, let's say, Stei Shemayim, then Rav would have been okay in taking them. Then he wouldn't have turned the other way. But since he knew that these ganavim did not want to go l'frimishus, they just wanted to do what bare minimum in terms of dini adam, therefore Rav felt as a midas chassidish not to accept these animals. So what a razzle-dazzle, shtickle tar from Thaisa Kashim, with a teretz, with a kavanah, say ganavim, it's a Hachzor B'tolus, a lot of terrorists that are going on to solve this problem. Of course, the only reason why Tosos had to do somersaults to answer this kasha is because they held like the Sefer Yoreim. The Sefer Yoreim was one of them. Sefer Yoreim was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So he's from the same team, from the same group of Rishonim, who hold that there is a real bona fide chiyuv of let's say Sdei Shemayim. However, if we go down the path of the other Rishonim, such as the Meiri from the Chachmei Provence from Wednesday, or we go down the route of the Ran from Spain, the other Rishonim, the other Jewish communities in Europe never heard of this, let's say, Sdei Shemayim. They thought that Esther HaSotara Filo Ba'alima meant something totally different. That Esther HaSotara just meant that is his Chaybos Bidas, or Bidvar Sheke Tirchok, all the reasons that we gave on Wednesday. But fundamentally, if and when you have a real bona fide case of Kimle Bidramine, then there is no Chiyav, even let's say Sdei Shemayim, nothing zero. Then the Gemara reads like a charm. So then we understand exactly why Rava didn't want to take it for them. Because since Lamaisa, they weren't Chayiv in Bezin Shalmata, there is no such thing as Bezin Shalmala in Kibble B'Dramine. So therefore, Rava's taking it, Shalmata Kedin. Now again, obviously Rava Me'ikra Din was justified in taking that because in the end of the day, we paskel like him against Rav. But that which he wanted to be Noyeg, Amidus Chasidus, to be Chashish for Rav, so at least what he did makes sense. We don't have to bend over backwards like Taisa, the Hachabai Eskin, no Kimta, Alam Deshagadav, Alam Deshara, whole story. That simply there is no such thing as the Nishimai. So when we mentioned on Wednesday that Rashi's Pshat and Tosu's Pshat and Sefer Yoreim's Pshat, that there is a Chiyav, let's say, Sedei Shemayim, and that's the engine that would drive our answer to Kofar, that answer of the Sefer Yoreim is very, very shaky, because not only is it disagreed upon by other Rishonim questioned the Raya, but now we have a Gemara that has to be reinterpreted with a little bit of creativity to defend that Shita. So there's a good reason why other Rishonim didn't go down the route of Sefer Yoreim. It's this Gemara that's staring them in the face. But now just for the final touches on the sugya, what do we think the din should be? We'd stop and ask ourselves. So we know what the Sefer Yoreim says, we know what Rashi says, and Tosfos and the Ran. I mean, we have all the Makaris now. We have all the sources in the Gemara. Let's just apply simple logic. What do we think the din should be? Do we think that Kibble B'Dramine should apply as a patur of Din Shemayim or not? Do we think that it's appropriate to turn around to the person who just burnt down the house on Shabbos, he's on his way out to be killed, and say to him, well, in Din HaShemayim you should really pay. Is that true? Is there a chiv in Din HaShemayim? Din HaShemayim is not something we just flippantly throw around. There are sugyas in the Gemara. Potter b'din yodam, chayv in Din HaShemayim. Sometimes they're not even chayv in Din HaShemayim. So what would we say? What would logic dictate? Should there be a chiv in Din HaShemayim or not? So the chor of you would ask me, my starting point would be, yeah, of course it's a chiv in Din HaShemayim. The mice, you burnt out the guy's house. The bottom line is, you stole the guy's stuff. The bottom line is, you caused the other person to have said mamon. So it's hard to believe there wouldn't be a requirement Din HaShemayim. What would lead us to question the din of Din HaShemayim here? So this is probably a throwback, as Israel alluded to before, a throwback to the old question that we spoke about a couple of days ago, that Chiddush Gadol of the Ramban and the Ritva in Maseches Machos. Remember we had a chakira about what does Kibble B'Dramine mean? Does Kibble B'Dramine mean that you're potter? When I burn down a house on Shabbos, I'm potter fish. End of discussion. The Torah never was mechayev me, this onus of mammon, in the situation of Kibble B'Dramine. Well, it's not pshat that I'm potter. The pshat is that I paid. How did I pay? Paid at the office. How did I pay? Not with the normal ways of paying. Normal ways of paying is writing a check and giving it to the other guy. I paid with my life. A person paid. A person was chayav misa. The Ramban says, yesh bechlal onesh hachomer, onesh hakal, that the tashlumen was incorporated. The tashlumen was included already within the onesh hachomer. So as the Ramban and the Ritva argue in the beginning of Makos, it's not that I'm potter from paying. I did pay. It's a little bit of a different sur, a little bit of a different format of paying. But tachlis, bottom line is, I did pay. and therefore, I don't have to quote-unquote pay anymore, because I already did pay. L'chor, that should be the answer to our question. Am I obligated in paying in Din HaShemayim or not? If you hold that I paid already, it's a different form of payment, but Lamai said I paid already. So double jeopardy, you can make me pay twice. That's not fair. I don't know whether that was the correct legal terminology, but I think you understand what I mean. But if you hold like the Ramban of the Ritva that Kibble B'Dramine means I already paid, so what should I have to say? You have to pay Din HaShemayim. I paid already. I wrote the check. It wasn't a check, $100 made after you. It was my life, made after the Rebbeinu Shlom, made after the Beis Din. So I already paid, so why should I be chayav to pay second time around? But if you hold that Kibble B'Dramine is a poter, it means that the chiyuv never kicked in. If the chiyuv never kicked in, so then one can argue the poter makes sense. And Dinei Adam, that Beis Din's hands are tied. Beis Din can't make me pay. But Lamais, at the end of the day, I caused the hefsid mammon. At the end of the day, I never paid for that. I never compensated anything or anybody for that hefsid mammon. So at least if it is Shemayim, I should be obligated to pay. So if it is, I would say this shaila probably depends on that question that we spoke about earlier in the week.
They don't kill him, actually.
Oh, that's very good. Excellent. So if that's the case, then if we're correct in what we're saying, then maybe we can differentiate between two different kinds of kibbutz ramine. We've said this already many times. Kibbutz ramine applies if the bazin kills him, and kibbutz ramine applies even if the bazin doesn't kill him. Let's say a person burns down a house by Shoygi. He didn't realize that. He forgot a Shabbos. He wants to destroy this guy's house. He forgot. He thought it was Tuesday. He never would have burnt that house on Shabbos. I mean, a mazik here, you know, but Shabbos not. So what's the dim? So we pass it. This also kibbutz ramine. That's the Gemara quoted in Braisa. The Braisa called Tana de Bechizkia. That kibbutz ramine applies echad b'meizin, echad b'shegeg. But one could argue that even though it's true that kibbutz ramine applies both b'meizin and b'shegeg, both when Bezin actually kills me and when Bezin theoretically could have killed me but didn't, maybe there's a big difference in terms of lumdus how those kibbutz ramines work. Namely, if the Bezin mamish kills me, so then the Ramban makes sense. Then the Ramban, the Ritva Svara, can be said that if Reuven is mamish killed, so then he paid the Tashlumin. Then the Ramban, the Ritva, correct. But if Reuven was ever killed, at the end of the day it was a shogeg. At the end of the day there was no aid. At the end of the day there was no asura. At the end of the day something went wrong and there was no chi of mis that was literally physically meted out. So then where's the Tashlumin? So there was no Tashlumin. So if there was no Tashlumin, so then the only kibbutz ramine that will work in the case of a shogeg is to say, you didn't really pay, but Bezin's hands are tied anyway. If that's the case, so then we can argue that when the Bezin literally kills the person, then there's no chiyav in Dina Shemayim anymore. But if the Bezin didn't actually kill the person, then there would be a chiyav in Dina Shemayim. So the answer to our question, is there a chiyav in Dina Shemayim or not? The answer is it depends. Salom de Shabriska Deretz, there are two dinim. There are two kinds of kibbutz ramine. Kibbutz ramine that actually meets fruition and literally gets killed, then it's as if you paid. If you paid, there's no tashlumin at all, not even the nishimayim. But if you didn't actually get killed, it was chayv misa shegigin, it was tied to vechizkiya, there wasn't a real misas bezin that was administered, so then the best we could do for you would say, well, you're potter, but between you and me, you never paid yet, and you better pay, let's say, nishimayim. So this is a theme that appears in some Acharonim. The Ketzos already talks about this. Rabbi Chon already elaborates upon this. This is already a common theme that there are two kinds of kibbutz ramines. One works in one method, one works in the other method. One does carry with it chibbutz de shemayim, and one doesn't.
If the mechanism wasn't correct, like if there's no hasra, then is he chayiv at all?
Well, he's not really chayiv misas beizdin, but it's still called tan vechizkin. That's what the Gemara says, that he's called the chayiv misas shogin. So he's theoretically chayiv misa, but lamais he's not going to be chayiv. It's based on this that the Ketzos has a very, very sharp mahalach, and again, the Ketzos starts it, the Rebbe Chon elaborates about it, and the Ketzos explains, now we can go back at the Gemara and head and I pays with new eyes, with fresh eyes, and give an alternate pshat from Tosis. The Gemara said that Rava didn't want to accept the animals that were stolen of him as a midas chasidus. Again, the Shittasso he was allowed to accept it because it was no kibbutz ramine altogether because the animals were still intact. But in the worldview of Rav, that kibbutz ramine applies to Hashava also, Rava as a midas chasidus, he didn't want to accept these animals. So Tosis, the Kasha, why not? The other fellows, the Ganov Machayv and Dini Shemayim, aren't they Chayv and Dini Shemayim? So says the Ketzos, not so fast. Are they really chayv in din shemayim? Well, it depends. What kind of kibbutz ramine is this? Is this a kibbutz ramine where the person is mamish killed, or is this a kibbutz ramine where the person is not killed? That's the pivotal question. If it's a kibbutz ramine where the person is not killed, so then Tosis kasha, really good kasha. If the person wasn't killed, so then there's still a chayv in din shemayim. But if the person was killed here, so then he paid already. That's the Ramban and the Ritva. So did these Ganovim get killed or not? So the answer is, of course they weren't killed. They weren't even Chayiv Mises Beis and Bechlal. They were just wrote for him. There was Rava lived 300 years after the Churban. No one's putting anybody to death here. So why are we even asking this question? So comes the Ketzos with the final lumdus to this. Comes the Ketzos and says, what do you mean the person was killed or not killed? What does that? What do those words mean? You think killed means that the Beis then literally succeeded in putting him to death and now he's being buried. That's what killed means? No. Killed means a gemar din, because the gemara says once Bezin is going to din on somebody, the person is what we call a gavra ketila, a pidin, he's dead. If for some reason he escapes and he gets away and he runs away, but up Din, he was a Gavra Ketila. He's Chayav Misa's Beis Din, and it's as if the Misa was already administered. Comes to Ketzos and says, when you have a Rodef means we paskin, theoretically, no one's sitting in the case, but Reuven's running up the Shimon with a knife, so the Halacha dictates at that moment, it's Nigmar Dina Lemisa. Reuven can be killed at that moment by anybody, and it's a Gemar Din that's chal on him, and he gets a Gavra, a Shem Gavra of a Gavra Ketila. Once he's a Gavra Ketila, it's as if the Beis Din killed him already. Now the Emes Lamito is that he's probably going to escape. He's probably not going to get bumped off by somebody. Like these Ganavim, nobody ever killed a Ganavim. Rava didn't turn around with a shotgun and kill the Ganavim, so the Ganavim walked away. So the answer is, okay, so they had a Chesem Esim. So the Shas Gavra Din was over, the Shas Gavra Ketila, that status was removed. Like we said before, once the Gavra Ketila is over, it's over, it's finished. So the person, you can't kill him afterwards. But for those few seconds that they were Bava Machteres, they had the status of a Gavra Ketila. As such, says the Ketzos, as the status of a Gavra Ketila, they had the highest level of Kimud Ramine. As the highest level of Kimud Ramine, that meant that Ke'ilu they paid. Now we can invoke the Ramban and the Ritva. It's Ke'ilu they were killed. If Ke'ilu they were killed and they already paid, then guess what? Then there's no Chayav Letzei Sidei Shemayim. If there's no Chayav Letzei Sidei Shemayim, then Tosfos Kasha could be answered differently. That's the Ketzos' razzle-dazzle Shtichel Torah. Again, he needed two Hanochas. Hanocha number one is he had to develop for us the two different tracks of Kimud Ramine. But then even more Mechudish is he had to stick the Bav Machteres into the highest level track, into the track of Chayav Misa's Mezid and not Chayav Misa's Shogiyin. So that's a big question. That the Emes Labito is, that's a big machlokes Rishonim. Is that statement true or not? That a Rodef, Bava Machteres, who Lemaisa doesn't get killed, that's a Chayav Misa's Mezidin. That's Ke'ilu he was killed already, and therefore it's Ke'ilu he paid the money, and therefore there's no, let's say, Sidei Shemayim. So there are some Rishonim who may say that, but other Rishonim who don't say that. So that's already a big, big Chiddush in the Ketzos. Yes, okay. Anyway, I hope I'm
saying.
Right. But that's too late. But that was the question we said before. But that's done. It's too late already because the Shasta Gazelle is over. So I call upon him again. A simple question. We had only one question. The question was, why did the Pasuk support? Why did the Rabban Shalom put into the Hilge Torah in Kofi Yushas Alav to exclude Kofar from a person? Isn't it obvious that Kibbutz Ramine? So again, Habarcha Yivchar, you can choose between the multiple answers, the Taisus, the Peretz, with this answer, if you're Rayim, every possible answer to solve this problem. So we try again to show the Rosh Hashanah in terms of this. Somewhat the complicated subject. Okay.